Current State on 90.5 WKAR. Earlier this month, we told you about the ongoing archaeological dig at Fort Michilimackinac. This week, a smaller excavation is wrapping up here on the MSU campus. Current State's Kevin Lavery is here to tell us about the campus project. You've been playing in the sandbox a lot this summer, Kevin.
I have, Mark, and later today I'm getting fitted for a fedora and a whip. The MSU project has been turning up artifacts going back to around the 1870s at the earliest, and one piece of history that they're discovering has to do with the home of one of MSU's most notable professors who lived during the early 20th century.
On the banks of the Red Cedar, an almost mythic spot where so much green and white folklore begins, another Spartan story is rising up from the past. Just yards away from the south entrance of the Hanna Administration Building, about a dozen students armed with shovels and pickaxes toil inside a rectangular grid cordoned off by plastic orange netting. I've arrived just in time to glimpse a newly unearthed piece of intact glassware. Anthropology professor Dr. Lynn Goldstein explains its significance.
This is a bottle that still has some of its metal cap attached, or with it anyway. And it's a whole bottle. And it looks like it's, I don't know if it's like perfume or some kind of a elixir or something like that. But we're getting quite a bit of whole artifacts, which archaeologists don't generally find whole artifacts.
That's a nice 19th century word, elixir.
Yes, yes, yes. Everything we're finding is from 1890s to no later than 1925.
Goldstein leads the MSU Campus Archaeology Program, which is nearing the end of a four-week dig. Her team has found a lot of artifacts dating back about a century. Decades ago, the campus contained some faculty housing, but most homes were not in this general area. Goldstein says the items they've discovered along this stretch of the river were deliberately brought here.
It was all dumped at one time, and that's what we started realizing, and it's all dating from a very tight time period, everything in it, which suggests, you know, probably what happened is it was very undulating, it probably flooded, and they took the opportunity of the remodel to take all that stuff and dump it here.
In the 1920s, Thomas Gunson and his wife Ludi lived nearby. Gunson was a professor of horticulture who worked at the Beale Botanical Garden. Ludi Robinson was Gunson's second wife, and she decided to give their home her own touch.
We know that he remodeled the house in 1924, and I think he married this wife in 1917 or 18. My guess is that she wanted to get rid of the first wife's stuff. I mean, why not? Why wouldn't she want her own stuff? And I think that's why we're finding so many gendered artifacts, so many female things and dishes and, you know, all kinds of other things like that. But we're also finding a lot of lab equipment, lab vials and that sort of thing, which makes sense because Gunson had an experimental greenhouse attached to his house.
In one neatly fashioned square pit, students Kristen Dozier and Elisa Lyon have found a dark strip of dirt. It's believed to be the cinder of an old asphalt sidewalk. Lyon is careful to dig slowly.
I guess at first it was like you got a little impatient because like, oh, I want to like really get down and find the artifacts. That, you know, as you get closer down, because you take everything down level by level, you have to be extraordinarily careful not to get down into your next level. Like ours are every 10 centimeters. Well, if we go down 12 centimeters, then we might find something really cool, but then it would be out of context. And so we learned that, you know, while there's a lot of cool stuff here, you can't just go yanking stuff out of the ground or out of the walls, because that might also make your walls collapse.
A couple of squares over, Jasmine Smith spots more glass protruding from the walls of her site about 4 feet down. She's come across this type of thing before.
These two down here are new. That actually might be just a glass jar instead of a bottle right here. We actually found a little bottle that was completely intact last week, so that was nice.
Any idea, before you uncover them, what they are? I think you've uncovered some in the past that have been from what was called the MAC Creamery, since there's a lot of dairy production history on this campus.
Yeah, a lot of them actually turn out to be milk bottles, so that's pretty neat. And some of them actually do have the labeling on there, so you know where it comes from. And then some of them are also medicine bottles. That actually might be what that is right there. It's a little bit smaller, so yeah.
interesting to see for yourself the world that was made out of glass before plastic.
Mm-hmm, it is.
What is most exciting or rewarding for you about this, Jasmine?
I think just learning the process. It's not so much about what I'm finding so far. It's more about learning how to do it because I've always wanted to do this. So I think that's the most rewarding thing about it so far.
It's the everyday objects that make archaeology what it is, a science that documents the routine and forgotten moments that history fails to record. Again, Lynn Goldstein.
Earlier this month, at the east end of the museum's driveway, that sort of semicircular driveway, we found a privy. And that was very exciting for us. Archaeologists love privies because when you drop something in a privy, you don't go after it. So there's a lot there.
You don't even need Archaeology 101 to know that one.
Exactly. So we found a privy. It was made of brick. Everything in the privy dated mid-1800s. We also found a doll, two dolls actually, porcelain dolls, and almost a full set of dishes, and a variety of other things. So it's very interesting. Lots of animal bone, lots of other sorts of things.
It's a great day for a dig. About 70 degrees, shady trees, a rushing river. This is definitely not the pyramids. Assistant Program Director Katie Myers-Emery says it's also a great location for learning.
This is a really great location, and we get a lot of people walking by too, which is nice, so we can share what we're doing and the students get a chance to talk about their work and do some public outreach.
And is there an overriding goal that you want to teach the students aside from learning basic archaeology techniques?
One of the major goals that we have is just that the students will have a respect for history and a respect for archaeology and understand the importance of it to modern populations.
About 2 feet behind you, Katie, is a 4 foot or so pit. What's happening in the pit?
What they're doing right now is they're trying to clean up the unit so that we can see what's going on. They've been working on this for 4 weeks now, and they're nearing the end of kind of what we can get done. But we actually, in this unit, hit what we think might be an asphalt cinder sidewalk. So one of the historic sidewalks on campus, which given that it's quite deep in the ground, that tells us a lot about what the area used to look like. There were hills, it was a little bit lower, and it's been built up over time, probably to prevent flooding on campus.
Near the edge of the dig, graduate student Lisa Bright sifts dirt piles through a mesh screen. She's the one who found the porcelain doll in the privy.
That was pretty interesting, to scoop away the dirt and suddenly see a little face looking back up at you.
That's the last place I'd expect to find a porcelain doll.
It really was, and she was incredibly complete. So I think maybe some older brother threw her down the toilet about 150 years ago.
Just waiting for you to discover.
Exactly. We're one of the few people who are really happy when we find an outhouse.
This program is unique in the nation. There are other places where other universities where people excavate on campus. Harvard is one, Notre Dame, but usually it's in association with a particular building or a particular piece of campus or something like that, and it's a couple years and that's it. Thanks to the support of President Simon, at whatever MSU disturbs the ground, we're there. We at least have a crack at it to try and find things. And it's made our program unique, and it's really trained our students to do archaeology and to get very good jobs, actually.
Dr. Lynn Goldstein is a professor of anthropology and also the director of the campus archaeology program at Michigan State University, and they are wrapping up their dig this week in between the admin building on campus and the Red Cedar River. Dr. Goldstein, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Kevin Lavery.